This is Weekend Arts on ABCRN. I'm Sarah Kanoski, and indeed I have with me in the studio Andrew Leibold, filmmaker and trash film buff, and he spent 7 years making The Search for Weng Weng, almost ready for Australian screens. And we also have co-producer of the film, Daniel Palisa. Welcome both of you to Weekend Arts.
Thanks, Sarah.
Hello.
So we have to start, because he may be a name dear to both of your hearts, but he's not necessarily a household name. Who was Weng Weng?
He was the 2'9" James Bond of the Philippines, which I discovered, more than 20 years ago on a ratty old VHS tape, and couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, a karate kicking 2'9", ladies man and wielder of a savage jetpack, zipping his way around the Philippines. And seriously, from that moment, cinema was never the same again. And I really wanted to know, who is this little, hero of the Philippines? Did he make more movies? Whatever happened to him after he stopped making films? Was he still alive? And those questions kept, churning around for over 20 years until I finally picked up a video camera, went to Manila and, started pointing at everyone that I could meet and say, who was Weng Weng?
And it's that thing, isn't it? I mean, I guess we live in an age now where we just Google. I mean, I Googled Weng Weng and I see all these films and I get shorts and I get a whole background. But you started, this obsession grew with you when that wasn't an option.
Pre-internet, yeah, exactly. And even when the internet started, it seemed like there was no information or real information available. And people started making up stories about Weng Weng just to fill in the massive gaps in Weng Weng's saga. Then YouTube came along, and all of a sudden, the Weng Weng rap, put together by a bunch of Canadians, got 1.5 million hits. So Weng Weng became this internet sensation just purely based on these clips of an astounding little karate-kicking James Bond. But no one knew the story. No one, in fact, knew his real name. And even after I started going to the Philippines, I was asking people who had worked with him, and they didn't even know his name or whether he died.
Well, before we get to your extraordinary investigative journalism, Andrew Leibold, for which no doubt a Walkley is on its way, let's hear a little clip of Weng Weng.
Just in case you didn't know, Weng Weng is Agent 00, and he's back with more adventure in For Your Height Only. Yes, Agent 00 is back, and he's more defiant, more daring, more full of surprises.
I think that actual scene is Weng Weng using a magic hat to slay some...
Yes, it's a boomerang hat that knocks out 7 goons and then returns to his
little head,
as he describes it.
Daniel Palisa, how did you get involved in this quest to find the true story of Filipino's midget James Bond impersonator?
It was actually quite weird.
Surprising. Surprising as that is.
Yeah. I'd known Andrew for a lot of years, and we both worked for the Brisbane International Film Festival, doing programming and all that sort of thing. And it actually came about in a drunken bar conversation. And I literally just ended up being dragged along for the ride. And, 6 years later, I'm still going back to the Philippines and doing all this kind of stuff.
And so when you guys were in the Philippines, how hard was it to get information on the real story of this cinema star? Because he was a huge star and then just kind of disappeared from screens.
Yeah, probably for about a period of maybe 2 years tops. He was literally a pop culture sensation. Everybody wanted to interview him. He was on variety shows. Three of his movies ended up selling all over the world just after Imelda Marcos's 82 film festival. And then within the blink of an eye, he was forgotten. And it turns out relegated to the same slum that he was born in and grew up in, dying in abject poverty and complete anonymity. And so the story itself is actually quite heartbreaking. And the fact that no one knew the details made it particularly difficult to dig up anything until I finally tracked down his family. And they were able to finally tell me the name, what happened to him, how he grew up, and what happened to him after he stopped making movies and when he stopped being famous.
Mm.
And so the story really of Wang Wang is incredible. He goes from one of the poorest parts of Manila to Imelda Marcos's palace to the Cannes International Film Festival to the American Film Festival, and then almost within a couple of months back to his old neighborhood.
And what did he, as the flavor of the month, did Taste Us move on to something else?
Yeah, I really do think it's the nature of pop culture, and particularly in a place where the Philippines, where there are so many people and there is just so much busyness that things tend to get lost in the shuffle. And the story of Wang Wang, maybe no one actually asked what his name was at the time.
Yeah.
Or what happened to Wang Wang after pop culture had moved on.
And how did his family feel about you guys making the film? Because, I mean, obviously that the core of his success was, in a sense, exploitation, like not just financially, which happened to him, but also, you know, the appeal is here is a crazy-looking little guy in a jet suit. So, you know, was there a risk in making a documentary that you kind of bought into that same exploitation? I mean, was that inevitable in a way?
I don't believe so, because I think I went in with the purest of intentions, out of a love of the little guy and not necessarily out of a desire to make money out of a movie about him. And so when we did present ourselves to Wang Wang's family, they more or less adopted us. And in fact, we were there, Daniel and I were there 2 months ago having lunch with his only surviving relative, Selling, and his wife, and they were cooking us lunch and showing us photos of Wang Wang as a child, and they couldn't be happier. In fact, there's a beautiful sequence that we shot for the final cut that's coming out in November of Wang Wang's brother watching a rough cut of Search for Wang Wang that we screened 2 months ago in Manila.
And also his family that had never actually ever seen any of those films as well. So it's quite bizarre as well.
They took their grandkids along, and this was the first time they were seeing, you know, their great-uncle Estong on the big screen. For them, it's really a chance of finally redeeming the Wang Wang story and finding some kind of peace, because they've lived with the fact that Wang Wang was exploited and, you know, dying penniless and almost forgotten. They can finally now tell their story after 20-something years, and it's really quite beautiful.
And as you say, so that the film is in its sort of post-production phases now, and where can people see The Search for Wang Wang once it's finished?
It premieres at Monster Fest in Melbourne. It's a genre film festival put together by Monster Pictures, who will end up being the film's distributor in Australia. And after that, we're going to tour the length and breadth of Australia in every capital city, banging the Wang can. Bang. And after that, New Zealand, Philippines, and beyond.
And the rest of the world. Okay.
You bet.
Well, Andrew Leibold and Daniel Palisa, congratulations on almost nearing the end of your odyssey, and thanks for coming into Weekend Arts.
It's been great. Thanks, Sarah.